for one, welcome our new gentlemen, overlords.
Now that's a team I can work with.
I love it. I love bringing people together.
How we doing?
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Gentlemen Overlords. I'm Andrew.
I'm Max.
I'm Robert.
And fellows, what's up?
What's up?
Bring it back.
I mean, hey.
And that's why we're reviewing Scary Movie 2.
I was going to say, Scary Movie 2 could be one of the movies we've seen, but there's only one way to find out.
You forget about me. Look my way, girl. Something breakfast.
Movies we've seen.
Robert, tell me, have you watched Scary Movie 2?
Not since we last spoke.
Oh,
but maybe I'll put it on my list. I watched a few different things, sort of Oscar related since we last spoke, some of it podcast related since we last spoke. So they don't have to be noted if you don't want. I rewatched Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon. Only took me 24 hours since they're both 12-hour movies. That's a little joke. Just people don't like how long they are. No, it was just great to revisit them. And both movies that I think are excellent on a big screen, maybe Killers a little less so, but I mean, it's Scorsese, so always a pleasure to see it in the theater. The podcast movie I mentioned was I rewatched the Lego Batman movie.
Yes, for the
newcomers.
Did you also watch the episode that they released this week?
Watch it? What?
The movie for the episode they released this week. Did you watch that one?
The Flash?
Yeah.
No, of course not. No, I'm not beholden to their viewing schedule, I'm not going to compromise my morals to watch a movie. How about that?
Okay. I thought that would be the one way you might actually watch that movie
Like I told you, I think I watched a video that breaks down the movie that is longer maybe than the movie.
Oh.
So I think I'm straight on.
I was going to say, you could probably watch like a very informative 10-minute breakdown of the movie and you'd get everything from it.
I think I could probably pick up I could exercise or do something like it was helpful to me in general,
yes,
too. I could probably do that.
Yeah.
And I probably should. So watch that. Watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 for some reason. I don't remember why I watched that. I don't know if it was podcast related or not. I did want to mention I watched Dream Scenario with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah. I saw that's on Max. I do want to watch that.
It is. I enjoyed it. And it is, if you guys don't know the plot, it is Nicolas Cage is a teacher, professor, sort of at a college. And weirdly, suddenly people around him start to experience him popping up in their dreams. But he's almost always just an observer. He's not actively doing anything. He's just standing there observing the weird thing that's happening in the dream. And it starts off sort of odd, and then he sort of becomes viral, off of it. And then I don't want to spoil anything, but other things happen and the implications are odd. And there's also sort of like when that becomes a news story, some people have to obviously have to then subconsciously dream about him, but other people it's actively happening. It's not like that that idea was supplanted. They are also sort of experiencing this weird mass event.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of alters a little bit and I will say it's a little more depressing than I thought it would be, but I still think it's riding a good line of sort of drama and comedy and this weird sort of not magical realism, but there's a concept in the middle of it that is the idea that someone is sort of being incepted into people's dreams is interesting. But I do recommend it. I liked it. I think he does a great job. He also has a kind of a weird voice in it. He's doing like a little bit of a weird higher pitch than I'm used to.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? This is like a unique Cage character. Like that he has an amazing career and multiple roles that are iconic. And this one is, I would argue, you could lock into. This is going to be the top Halloween costume of this year, I think.
Dream scenario cage.
I did enjoy, though. I would recommend it. I also watched Roadhouse 2024.
Oh, the Gyllenhaal movie. Wow.
That's a big stinky for me. I didn't really like it very much. It's a different setting, a different kind of background for the character.
He's an MMA fighter in this, right?
Pardon?
He's an MMA fighter in this?
He is, and I didn't like that kind of... There's a drama in the backstory of the original movie's character, Dalton's character.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you're like, okay, that's fucked up, but it's also, I get it. And this one, I didn't like the MMA angle. It wasn't... I don't know. It just wasn't the setup I wanted. And it is ultimately like, this fucked up thing happened. Now I should learn to kill a ton. So that's interesting. I'm not here saying that the original is a masterpiece, but I do enjoy the original Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fun movie, even for the weird violence and stuff like that. But so I did rewatch that after Roadhouse 2024. I enjoyed it much more. I feel like I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon on it. I think I've talked to some other folks that are a lot lighter on it, and then they enjoyed it overall. But it's another one of those ones for me where I get the IP is like, people will watch this if it's called Roadhouse, but if it was just called
Jake Gyllenhaal's MMA
Bayou Bouncer, and it was about a guy in Florida who, you know, wanted to, you know, help out this fledgling bar,
right,
it would have been fine. It just probably wouldn't have had as many eyes on it. But
I
yeah,
like
not,
I feel like I'd be more likely to watch that.
I because you're now, you just have to then compare it. It's like, it doesn't ruin the original Roadhouse. It's a separate movie, but it just feels like annoying that they had to be called Roadhouse. And it's like, you might as well just been called something else. It's not important that you're this IP, in my opinion.
Should have been called Road Apartment.
Yes. Also, in the first movie, the bar he goes to is a roadhouse, which is the term for sort of this, you know, bar in the sticks. And in this movie, it's called Roadhouse. And there's a little joke about how, you have a roadhouse? Yeah, what's it called? Roadhouse. No, what's it called? It's called Roadhouse. It's like, just call it. Call it the double deuce, like in the original, or call it something else. Come on. What are we doing? Just not as appealing of a bad guy. Conor McGregor sucks.
Yes. He's also bad. He's a bad guy.
I was going to say, I'll quote someone on a server I was in who said, he's as good an actor as he is a person.
Mm-hmm. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
If that tells you anything about him, bad acting, not a fun villain, in my opinion. He's just like a jokery kind of like, I'm here to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And he's stupid. It's bad. Other than that, I watched Ghostbusters, the original. And just because I was thinking about GB and the fact that there's a new one out, and we had a few years ago, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and covered it on the pod, and it's a favorite of mine, so I just threw it on the other night, and it's it always holds up. I love it. Lightning in a bottle.
Are you gonna watch the new one? Have you seen it already?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard this and that about it. I didn't hate. I probably have to go back and listen to my thoughts, but I didn't hate the last one, but I feel like it also at the end really I think at the time I probably said they did something as respectfully as they could, but I also acknowledge that the most respectful thing would be not have done what they did.
To leave his ghost.
So there's that.
And
this sounds like overstuffed. I don't like to review movies based on
what other people are saying.
Just any sort of, I try more so nowadays to not to seek out, the criticisms and the ratings and stuff ahead of time. I don't really care what people think about a movie before I see it. And then I'm going generally afterwards to be like, oh, this person was kind of seeing what I was seeing, or, oh, yo, that's actually a good insight. They did really, you know, call back that thing too much. So something I'll check in on more after reviewing. I might go see it. I'm not going to go out of my way, and I don't feel like I need to go to the theater for it. So yeah. But in the meantime, there's this old movie called Ghostbusters. If people want to go watch it, it's very good.
You mean Ghostbusters Answer the Call, right?
Yes. Yeah. They do answer a call in the movie. Yeah. Janine does specifically. So if you want to call it that, yeah, let's call that the original that. and that's basically movies I've seen.
Max, what about you?
I watched the original Underworld, which I'd seen before. Kate Beckinsale as a vampire.
Oh, Lycan. Isn't she a... she was a...
Excuse me?
Yeah, how dare you?
Is she not a werewolf?
No. She's not a werewolf. Fool! She's a vampire in the relationship.
I guess somebody else needs to rewatch.
Is it a Scott?
This.
Who's the speed? Who's the wolfie?
Sean William Scott.
Yeah, Sean William Scott.
Scott Bakula.
I don't know the guy's name. He's I think he was in Dracula's Lord of the mom. Rings.
Huh? Eh?
The werewolf is in Lord of the Rings. I think maybe as a dwarf.
No, I think you're thinking of the Hobbit, the guy who turns into a bear. God, who are you talking about? Gandalf's not a werewolf. Hold on. Felicity's I'll go through all the characters and figure out if they're werewolves. Hold on.
Felicity's boyfriend.
Felicity's boyfriend. Yeah. Scott Speedman?
He becomes, or he gets bit by a lichen. And I don't want to spoil it, this movie from 2003, but he kind of becomes a bit lichen-like, if you know what I mean. I was liking this movie.
Wow.
It was all right.
Talking about a lycanthrope.
And I'm going to continue on with the other five movies in this quintilogy.
One of them is a prequel, right? Isn't there like...
Yeah, I think it
possibly. Aren't they all directed by her husband?
I think they're directed by different people. Maybe the first two are the same person. And I think they start going off on tangents. Okay.
Are they still married?
Wife.
Len Wiseman? Are they still married?
Yeah, I think that's her, or was her, her beau at one point.
The extent that I'm familiar with Len Wiseman is Paul F. Tompkins' character as him on Comedy Bang Bang, who's always throwing sex parties. So, who knows? Anyways, go ahead. Keep on going, Max. Keep it going.
What was I going to say? Oh, I kind of forgot that... that the vampires and the werewolves, the way that they like interact with each other is by shooting each other a lot. Like they all have just Uzis.
Instead of hello,
they have. They don't like each other. This guy was in.
Spelling out hello in bullets, like it's a Counter-Strike map.
Yeah. He's in good something. Good Omens, that's right, with
Michael Sheen. Is that who you're thinking of?
Michael Sheen. Yeah, that's the guy. He's not in Lord of the Rings?
No.
He really looks like he could be in Lord of the Rings.
You. Oh, my God.
You what?
You're an orc. You know what? I was going to say it. You're an orc from Mordor. You're an idiot.
No, he certainly could be in Lord of the Rings. You just wait until one of the sequels and you'll see
him. He certainly could. Yeah. Oh man, I hope he's in Rings of Power season 2. God, fuck, I'm praying.
But yeah, it's a crazy movie, and I'm excited to watch the rest of them. I think they're only going to go up from here. You know, I think it's just going to get better and better.
Mm-hmm. That's how sequels usually work.
Yeah, I think so. Especially when you get into the five movies in a trilogy. I always want to call them trilogies.
Are you also going to play the video game?
Yeah, I am. I definitely will. There's no way that I won't play that game.
The PlayStation 2 game, Underworld, The Eternal War?
Yeah. I mean, I'll just bust out my PS2 and my copy.
And don't forget
War.
the television series, Underworld Endless War.
No,
you think
I
forgot that?
They did a PS5 remake, actually. You can just buy it. It's only a $70 upgrade if you want to play it on that instead.
And that'll be cheap for me because I still have to buy a PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll work. I also watched They Clone Tyrone.
Oh, but I I went meant to watch that when it first came out, and I just never got around to it.
You better clone Tyrone.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. John Boyega, Tiona Paris, Jamie Foxx, all just having fun, doing a good job. It's weird, but it's good. I liked it. Good look to it. It kind of like it's weird because it seems like everything's in the 70s, the way they're dressed and everything.
I was going to say it seemed retro, but I think it's current day.
Yeah, it's weird because they're just all hanging out and then they bring out their like smartphones and you're like, oh, all right. They're like driving old cars and stuff too. It's weird because they go for... I guess like there are still people who...
it's like it follows know, where like it's that. Supposed to be like sort of timeless, and the weird thing is like the girl has that seashell phone. It's like an e-reader. Otherwise, it seems like it's in Detroit. It's old. It could be the 80s or the 90s or the 2010s. You're just not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a similar thing there. But yeah, pretty fun. And that's all that I've seen. How about you, Andrew?
I actually haven't watched any movies. I have been playing my aforementioned PS5 a bunch. I rolled credits on Spider-Man 5, which was... Or Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 5? What the fuck? You're way that far ahead?
I play it into the future, spoilers. Baby.
Dude, I know your uncle works at Nintendo, but you need to give me that shit. I need to play that shit. At least give me three or four. Please. Please.
Yeah, rolled credits on Spider-Man 2.
What do you think?
Great. I don't want to say too much because I...
Yeah, don't say anything, but it's great.
Yeah, I thought it was...
Do you think it leads right into Spider-Man 5?
I think they could skip... I guess they can skip 3, 4. They can skip whatever, you know, like middle games they're going to do. Yeah, I think they could go right to 5. Easy.
Skip right to 5, it's Peter Parker in a wheelchair. I fought a Venom once. Okay, Grandpa.
Okay, good job, Grandpa.
Let's get you to the Oscorp Detention Center.
The Detention Center?
Jesus. Which is what old people homes are called in New York at that point.
Yeah, I put a lot of hours into that, so I haven't had a lot of time for movies. I also did subscribe to PlayStation Plus, so I've been playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake Intermission. It's my most recent play, and whoops. So, yeah.
So you're playing cinematic games, but not indulging in actual cinema.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Okay.
Creating my own cinema, as it were.
Cut scenes instead of filmed scenes. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's kind of my thing right now. But anyways, that's it for movies. Let's talk about some TV shows we've seen.
TV shows we've seen.
We've seen.
Robert, what TV shows have you seen?
You know what I've been loving? 3 episodes in, and it's really enjoyable. X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. I wasn't even... I like the X-Men, but I was never like fully caught up on the original run of the series.
Yeah, same.
I was familiar with it and I knew general plot lines and stuff, but it wasn't like a DBZ or a Pokemon or a thing where it's like, I've seen every episode and I've seen them multiple times, blah, blah, blah. It was like, I would catch it and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't an obsession. So there's things that are obviously callbacks and things that old fans will really appreciate. But for me, I was like, ooh, is it going to be kind of like weird coming back? And it's like, it's picking up right at the end and I'm going to be a little bit in the dark. I think it's doing a good job of kind of easing everyone back into the characters. I think it's really exciting to have the lineup of characters they do. I think the animation looks really good. Mm-hmm. I like the clean line style. I think there's some really nice slick action scenes that really show off the amount of, you know, frames they're using. Also, very minor spoiler, but in one of the first battles, Cyclops, and I don't remember if he did this before, is pushing off of stuff with his beams because they're concussive, not heat. So if he hits the ground and just he can like move himself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's parts where he's fighting, and he's going and like moving back and like moving around by blasting the beam just at walls and stuff. And I was like, this fucking rocks. Like, I was like, I don't know. I don't remember if maybe that's a comic thing. Maybe in all the years the X-Men have existed, maybe that's a thing that Scott Summers.
Oh, whoa.
Sorry. I'm a hater.
Scumbag.
This is Robert's subreddit name, Scott Scummers.
And this is where I say, actually, I don't like Scott. No, but I, maybe that's a thing that's been established before and I'm a fool, but I thought that was super creative and fun.
Too. Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome. The third episode came out today as of recording and I watched that and it's great. I'm really enjoying it. My nitpick is, and I know there is a basis in the comics slash old show, Magneto's outfit is whack. I do not like Magneto's big M with the exposed shoulders and the long purple gloves. I want more of an armored Magneto personally, but that's my minor gripe.
Yeah. What did you think?
Either you guys watched it or
I watched the first episode. What did you think of Cyclops going, "Oh no, then I surrender." Not like it was. Like,
I loved it.
I know. It's like
the idea that like I can't open my eyes. And yeah. It's like, no, I can open. I can blast your ass to fucking Timbuktu, and he can do it. Yeah.
I liked the first episode quite a bit, so I'm excited to watch more of it. I just watched the first one today, and I was pretty into it. So, yeah, I was nice. I similarly probably fell off. I don't know, probably third or fourth season. But like as a kid, I have no idea when I would have stopped watching. But like I watched like a recap, and like the entire fifth season looked completely foreign to me. I had not seen any of that before.
Mm. And then I rewatched some How To with John Wilson, the Gone Too Soon HBO Max series. I've mentioned on here before, highly enjoyable, very rewatchable, short 6-episode seasons that you start at one point and they wildly goes off into some other subject that you didn't think it would get to, but somehow connects back at the end. It's like poetry, it rhymes. Highly recommend it. I will always evangelize it. Please check it out.
Nice.
And that's about the movies I've, or TV rather, I've seen.
Max?
Well, I actually watched Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Ooh, what'd you think?
Oh, nice.
I finally got around to it, but I really liked it. I liked what they did with it. I liked the animation style. I liked, I thought it was a clever concept and I enjoyed it. And I guess when I thought it was just going to be another telling of Scott Pilgrim, it didn't seem quite so interesting. Mm-hmm. But the way they did it is kind of what you got to do to make that interesting.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool to see everyone in their the mesh between the movie and the comics, you know, right? Like you have the style of the comic, but the voice from the movies. I thought that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it. You liked it too?
Yeah, I thought it was really clever. I thought the kind of retconning of the story was very clever. Having the characters kind of show up in different ways was really fun too. Like having them come back, but you know, like Lucas Lee's a little different than he was in the movie and or in the comic, and same with like, you know, all the characters showing up in like sort of different roles than you're kind of accustomed to them being was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also thought they were able to give some people more of a role. Like if they didn't have that big of a role in the previous
for sure.
ones, they were able to kind of like expand that and make that interesting.
Yeah.
So I dug that. And then I watched Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh,
which
boy.
That's part of the Millarverse. I'll say I thought that the look of it was pretty good. I thought they like had some like interesting style of characters, but like as the thing went on, it kind of became like, it just felt like, are they just trying to justify like cops killing people? Is that what this
whole
thing is about? And it didn't feel very good. So I didn't end up loving it, but and it's also canceled, so there's like not going to be another one.
Yeah.
But
Ajab,
like, what's
all Jupiters are bad.
I thought that the acting wasn't bad, and I thought the look of it was good, and it was I don't think it was a bad watch. I want to go back and read the comics to see if it's the same thing. And it's drawn by Frank Quitely, who mm-hmm. I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like Quitely's stuff, even though he has a certain style that I'm eerily repulsed by it sometimes. People look cherubic in a way that I don't love sometimes, but I also kind of am intrigued by it. So.
Yeah, I like it a lot. He does a lot of comics with Grant Morrison.
I was going to say All-Star Superman, which is that not what Gunn is sort of adapting a little bit? Like, I don't know if it's the exact story, but I think he's kind of pulling from that a lot.
He's mentioned a couple of the Frank Quitely, Grant Morrison runs as sort of team ups. Same thing on Batman. He did a run with Batman and Damian Wayne, Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it because I think the two of them together are fantastic. But like Frank Quitely himself is just, he's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny to me. So when Jupiter's Legacy came out as a comic book, I remember talking to the comic book store owner that I go to, and he was just like, he's just writing things that he wants to get adapted now. Like Kick-Ass got adapted, and like his whole thing now seems to be, I just want to write things that will get adapted to the big screen or to TV or whatever. And so I mean, I don't wish ill success for anybody who's just doing things, you know, like he's not like, I haven't heard anything about him being like bad in terms of like his behavior and stuff. He's just maybe kind of an annoying creator, but like, it is just sort of, I don't know, maybe a little bit of ironic medicine that like the show was not very good and it didn't end up doing very well, that like this thing that he clearly created as like a, I want to make this into a TV show.
I want this to become a,
kind of sucked.
But I mean, I imagine he still got paid to make it happen. And obviously would have gotten paid more if it had kept going. But, you know, he's trying to get that scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Max, anything else you've been watching?
Nope, that's it for TV. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, just X-Men 97 for me, too. So,
Did you watch today's or no?
I've just watched the first episode. But
Yeah.
I didn't watch the X-Men episodes I missed, but I watched a couple recaps of it. So that was I was trying to kind of catch up on it before I dove into 97. But I like the first episode. I think it's fun. I will continue watching.
It's good stuff. I think you'll enjoy where it's going so far.
They also have hinted at potentially bringing back the Spider-Man animated series on Disney Plus, because this is doing pretty well for them, I think.
Well, aren't they doing they've renamed it since, but aren't they doing like First Class? Aren't they doing like a Spider-Man year? It's like the college. It's like him.
Isn't it like a Spider-Man freshman year or something like that?
I don't know if that's still the name. I feel like they've gone through a couple name changes, but it feels like they're already doing sort of.
Right.
A Spidey series, at least.
It's also hard to know with like all the reshuffling, like what is still happening at Marvel right now.
100%. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Spidey crosses over with the X-Men fairly regularly, both in his own show and during the original series.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Especially
it would also be kind of an awkward thing of like, all the stuff that's happened in the old X-Men series has happened in this new one. It's like, hey, remember the time that mm-hmm. Magneto did this, that, and the other? And it's like, yeah, that all happened. So I wonder if they would pivot or not include Spidey for that reason, but I don't know.
If they make Spider-Man First Class, then it will really be a good Spider-Man X-Men crossover. And then Spider-Man Age of Apocalypse.
All right, let's get to the movie we watched this week.
Okay, Max, okay.
Enough goofing around. Let's get to the movie we watched this week. It is not readily streaming anywhere, but we watched from 2004, Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead from 2004, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and a bunch of Brits.
It's got the guy from who judges Great British Bake Off as the knockoff Nick.
Knockoff Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman also knockoff partner in that scene.
Yeah.
Directed by Edgar Wright. Again, this movie is not readily streaming anywhere, but you can rent it for a fee on any of your streamers, and you can find it on DVD if you have it. But guys, would you recommend people watch Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, 100%. It's one of my favorite. I mean, it's my what?
No, just like it took a little bit for you to say that, and I always expect you to jump in first, so I didn't say anything, so it seemed like do you recommend it?
I was waiting. I apologize. I feel like Drew throws to me first often, which is weird. I think you should give Max, you know, the
give
stage
Max a
sometimes.
Little bit. All right. Shut up, Robert. Max, what about you?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, it doesn't throw to me because I just say dumb stuff. It's good. I like it.
Okay, now Max, you say your thing, I guess. I think my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy. Hmm. I really like Hot Fuzz. It's a different vibe for me. I probably watch it less than Shaun of the Dead, but I really enjoy it. And World's End is one that I've seen the least, but I have rewatched in the, you know, years since it came out, and I do enjoy it a lot. And I think it's doing some really clever things story-wise, like some really fun callbacks and stuff, which Edgar Wright does well, but doesn't touch Shaun of the Dead for me. That's my favorite of his films. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's very clever, like several shots. I haven't seen it in a while, and several shots kind of stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the when he's walking through his town and then ends up walking through his town again in a different context.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think that they do a good job with that and like making it a good comedy zombie movie that, you know, like pays tribute to other zombie movies but doesn't get too stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also isn't willing to say the Z word.
I mean, yeah,
the Z word.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Z word.
Z word versus, I forgot the other guy. I'm team Z word. That's why I forgot.
Oh, okay,
the
name. I see.
I'm team Zacob, personally.
There we go. Yeah, and I know I've heard it called the Cornetto trilogy before, but I totally forgot what a Cornetto was. It's just a drum.
Do you remember
stick, right?
why he walks to the store, Max?
I paused it and rewound it when he said Cornetto, and he also said Cornetto.
Cornetto.
Yeah, so that's indecipherable. It is an ice cream bar. He goes to buy one at the store, and they appear
cone.
Different flavors appear in each of the movies. So I believe so like the strawberry chocolate one is in Shaun of the Dead. I think there's a mint or original version in Hot Fuzz, and I think mint original in World's End as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only called that because of one connecting company ice cream product.
Yeah.
Do they have any other flavors? Are we going to get another Edgar Wright movie in this?
Oh, baby. I hope so. Hey, you know, he signed a contract. If they make a new flavor, he has to make
a new movie. So that's what they're waiting for.
He is locked in.
They have like 16 scripts ready just for whenever Cornetto releases
in case
a new
flavor. Yeah.
They're like, we just can't put this banana flavor out. It's not going to do well.
And he's like, well, I got something great. Well, imagine Shaun of the Dead with bananas.
May I go now?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Yes, I would recommend people watch it. If just let me preface, it's a 2004 movie, so there are a couple jokes that I think do not particularly age well, including...
No, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything everybody says is fine.
I'm trying to remember, is it like... Is it kind of like the... He calls Sean Kay at one point?
Well, there's a couple times where,
he goes,
Ed,
all right,
Ed infers gay? that because Sean loves him that he's gay, and then
that's pretty tame, but also it's of the time. And
there's
also
a point where he pulls up in the car and he says, "What's up?" and words, and it's just like, okay, this is 2004.
Oh, does he say that?
Yes, he does. Yes,
it's not the R.
It is,
but it
not
is
the
a,
R, but it is the N word, and it's just like,
but it is still like. You don't need to be doing this.
You don't need to be doing this. I understand. Again, it's 2004. There was a period where like that was a funny thing. You know, like Ben Folds did it in like a cover of Bitches Ain't Shit. Like there was a period in time where it was for some reason inappropriately funny for corny white guys to use the N-word in a
Cornetto.
A Cornetto, yeah.
White guys.
in that context of like, isn't it funny that white guys are also calling each other, you know, this word? And like, that is thankfully over. I think it was inappropriate and stupid. I'm sure I took part in it, but like, it is something that was like, oh my God, this movie is anciently old. In that soul way, I was like, oh wow. This more than anything dated the movie. More than the cell phones, this dated
the movie. Yeah, it also is like it informs the character a lot too, where it's like,
yes,
this guy's an annoying jerk, and he's also says this kind of shit where you're like, oh, fucking, what are you doing, man?
I think that,
and also not the most shocking thing that someone in a British comedy in 2004 or whatever could say. So.
Sure. I think like, you're not supposed to love Ed, but I think you are supposed to like Ed. And so like, even though I think they do a good job of letting you know that like, he's not the only reason Sean's being like kind of held back, but like, you know,
isn't a weight on him.
Yes. But like, obviously like Sean could succeed more if he wasn't, you know, sort of like, be held into this Ed character, like he sort of feels responsible for him. But you are like, he is his best friend, and you at times in the movie are kind of led to liking Ed. And so it's a strange and upsetting moment when he says the N word. You're just like, ah, I didn't want to hear that. But
yeah. I think we've all had moments where our friends have done something or said something where you're like, hey man, I'm associated with you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, but I like that. Not a black and white character. It seems like he'd be fun to hang out with when you're tying one on and playing video games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also would be an asshole and do things that fucking make you mad.
Right.
So,
you can see why Pete, the roommate, gets so fucking annoyed with him, but you can also see why Sean also loves being up at 4 a.m. scratching records with him too.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Hey, that was Electro.
Do you guys have favorite scenes in the movie?
Well, one I wanted to mention that I think about all the time, and I don't know how many other movies have done this, but when they are cutting through the alley between buildings and stuff, and Sean runs into, he used to date her, right?
Yeah.
Like Liz, or I'm sorry, not Liz, is his girlfriend, but
Yvonne.
I don't even know if she's an ex. Is she an ex? I forget.
I
don't know if they mentioned that, but isn't she just from the other TV show?
She's from space. She's from space. I think they dated.
Yes,
in space.
But like, I'm trying to remember in the context if they had any sort of relationship or they're just friends or something.
I think it's vague.
I don't know if they mentioned.
I think it's purposely vague.
But it's, she is leading another group.
Yeah.
And it's an identical group. So they have her and Sean, and then they have like Ed and her, like Ed, basically, mm-hmm. like a big doof. And then they've got the
her
sort
David.
Of like older mom woman, and they've got the nerdy guy with his partner. And I don't know. That's just such a simple, they all pass each other and say hello and kind of go by.
Sean.
Also the sort of the ironies jumping ahead that they seem to have fared, or at least, the woman at least fared pretty well by the end. They're still fine and mm-hmm. intact. I really enjoy that. Also, I'm a sucker for any scene set to Queen. So when they're trying to beat up the manager of the Winchester with pool cues to the tune of Don't Stop Me Now.
Too. Like they're
I'm very fond
to
of
the
that.
Tune of the song.
And he seems like he's padded. He's just like, this guy's just like, and they're just kind of just beating him, you know, lightly almost. Good stuff. Love it.
There's so many moments where they're hitting people. Of course it's like stunt doubles, and they probably have the padded stuff, but they're either hitting somebody or throwing things at somebody, where it like really makes me nervous for like more than a big fight scene, but just throwing a record at somebody and having it like smash on them. It just like really makes me uncomfortable. And okay. The one that makes
you would
me
not
the most
survive a second in the zombie apocalypse.
when he gets hit in the head with the dart.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's like sticking out of it. Oh, it just feels so bad.
And it's like, there are people getting their heads smashed in. There's parts where like people, like you watch David get his guts ripped in, like out of his body.
I was going to say, like that's intense for legit regular zombie movies, I feel like.
And it almost comes out of nowhere because the movie has been largely pretty tame up to that point. You know, like there's some gunshots and like somebody gets bit and you might see a little bit of like neck meat coming out. But like when David gets pulled out and they literally tear him limb from limb and they start by opening his guts and just like ripping him apart.
And he's just like, wah, wah.
It was also I thought it was really funny that what is his girlfriend's name in the movie?
Like, oh fuck. Is it Diane?
Diane. Is just like, I'm coming, David. It's like she pulled his leg off.
She pulls his limb off and is like beating, wades out into the zombie horde to like beat them with his limb.
He's dead, but she's like, I'm coming, David. I just like that.
There is like a DVD feature, I think, that talks about how like she, you know, beat off all these zombies. All right. This should be its own movie.
This is on Pornhub?
And then like hides in a tree or something until the cavalry comes in and kind of gets them out of the bottom of the Winchester. There's weird little like storyboardish sort of like addendums to some stuff that I believe is on. It might be on the DVD I own. I streamed it, but I should have checked those out.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea. I mean, like just. I think it's like at the end of the movie, you know, when they escape the Winchester and it's, you know, Yvonne and the army shows up. And I like the moment where she comes up to them and she goes, was it just you two? And like, she just has kind of a moment of like, that sucks. Like, you know, just like she's like consoling them and also like, okay, we need to move on. Like,
is she implying like she did her group get somewhere, or because it's just her there, right?
I think there's no implication one way or the other. It's just she shows up with the army, but like when she's talking to Sean, she just goes, so it's just you two then, and then they're like, yeah, and she kind of goes, okay. Like I thought that was like a good acting moment in like a very like, you know, there's, I think like the charm of this movie is obviously that it's a silly zombie movie, but everybody's really good in it too. Like there's nobody who's turning in like a cartoony performance. Like they're all acting like they're in a zombie movie, if not, you know, the, you know, Don't Stop Me Now kind of, you know, cuteness of that scene, but like it's, you know, like they're all acting like the stakes are real for them.
Yes, I mean, obviously that for comedic value they're sort of taking it, processing it and sort of taking it at different degrees of seriously, but they're not, everyone's doing a great job with their performance based on how their character is sort of reacting. Mm-hmm. I love when they realize they might be able to slip past the zombies if they act like a zombie. And it cuts to Sean's mom, Barbara, and she's just sitting there slack-jawed. And then she's like, oh, that's great. Perfect. You're doing the perfect zombie. And she's like, huh? I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
But she was just like, I was like standing there for a second.
I was miles away, dear.
And it gets like really heavy, like the stuff with Sean's mom after she gets bit and all sorts of like, you know, by the end, like it feels like they're completely hemmed in and stuck in the basement of the bar. Like, God, what a fucking nightmare. Like, it's great. I'm really, I think people are go back and forth on Edgar Wright and has, you know, his sort of output movie wise. But I think Shaun of the Dead is such a great entry in the zombie genre.
That's funny to hear because like, to me, his movies are like, other than I didn't love Last Night in Soho, but like, I didn't dislike it either. I just think it's not like a great movie, but like to me, his output's been kind of unimpeachable to me, but, you know, that's again, like he has only four movies at this point, five. Because the Cornetto trilogy, Scott Pilgrim, and then Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, maybe.
So he doesn't have like a ton of movies to kind of rate him on in that way. But like his track record to me is very good. So I'm kind of surprised to hear that there are people who are anti Edgar Wright.
Yeah, and I may be extrapolating a little bit more from sort of just, you know, people mumbling and grumbling online. Sure, but but I've enjoyed his stuff and yeah, I think Shaun of the Dead's probably my favorite of his stuff.
So. That's interesting. I mean, to just give a preview to everybody, my following two movies are the next two Cornetto trilogy movies. We'll sort of talk about it as we go through the movies, but Shaun of the Dead, I think, is my least favorite of the Cornetto.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm really surprised, especially, I didn't know if this is your plan the whole time. You sneak to do all three, but I'm surprised you would have picked of the three your least favorite first. Interesting.
Yeah.
When was the last time you sat down and watched it in full, the other two?
I watched the other two, I think sometime last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So okay. So pretty recent. So you're sort of, you're locked in. You understand whether you'd watched them previously, that you're, how you feel about it.
Yes. Okay. I'm right. Pretty firm. I think I said it on the pod when I talked about at least The World's End, that I think The World's End, and spoiler for I don't know how long, I can't do that math, but like whenever we do review The World's End, I do think it's my favorite of the trilogy. So,
Like I said, I don't dislike it, and I think it gets some hate, at least in the three films, but, I do like it.
Yeah.
And I think it's got some fun character stuff, and obviously benefits from calling back to the other two movies in a lot of ways. Like they all do that. There's always like a fence gag.
Yeah.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg's character tend to have, you know, a camaraderie, but it's always, it can kind of shift and swap a little bit, which I think is really fun among all the movies. I'm excited to kind of revisit them and talk about them a bit more.
Yeah. So. I mean, I knew the fence gag was present in all of them. I sort of forgot how exactly it is in every three of the movies. And it, I think when I saw it show up in Shaun, I was like, oh, right. It's almost beat for beat. What's the matter? Never seen a fence before, you know, kind of like,
yeah. Shaun is great. And then I don't know if I want to spoil, but yeah, like there's the really fun one in, Hot Fuzz. And then now I'm trying to think, oh wait, do I remember the World End one?
It's in there. We'll find out.
I don't know if I remember. Why don't they call it details, but we'll revisit it.
Call it the Fence Trilogy.
It could be.
Yeah, you're right.
It could. It's the Cornetto / the Fence Trilogy. It really rolls off the tongue when you put it like that. But.
Yeah, and I think everyone would be, they would know exactly what you're talking about if you referred to it as the Fence Trilogy.
Yeah.
But Cornetto, nobody knows what that is.
It's a little too niche because like we have fences in America. Like we don't have Cornetto here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's sort of like
call it the same thing. We don't do that whole like garden yard thing that they do over there.
Yeah,
weirdos.
They do need to make it a little more global. So I think calling it the Fence Trilogy is probably the play.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk to him.
Yeah, we'll talk to him. We'll get everybody on the pod.
Yeah,
for the next couple
before
of
we get Edgar on for the final one, we'll figure it out.
We'll talk. To
once that
else.
Banana flavor comes out, we'll know. Yeah, okay, we got to talk to him now.
Max, do you have any favorite set pieces in the movie?
I like the fence. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Any favorite fence pieces in the movie?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite fence in the movie?
I think the third one back, I think, is my favorite fence.
That's a good one. Good fence.
Like the fence that he hops over and falls is funny. That's great stuff. The one that he hops up over the trampoline to see and realizes there's a bunch of zombies. I'm like, ooh, I don't like that fence. That's not good.
Yeah. I thought Bill Nighy did a good job in the back of the car, like professing his, I was just trying to be your father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great moment. He like realizes he's sort of dying and doing that. But before that, when he goes to the house and she's kind of like, oh, by the way, he was bit. And he sort of goes up like, I'm going to kill this dude. And he goes, I think he says, I'm sorry, Philip. And he's like, sorry for what? What did you fuck up now? Whatever. And it's like, he's not a zombie yet.
Still a jerk.
Can't kill him.
Yeah.
Also, a gif I love and use frequently is when Shaun proposes that they go to the Winchester and just like write it all out, and it's him cheersing and, hey, how you doing? I love that so much. Also, what doesn't David accuse him like, oh, your dumb boyfriend, you know, decided to come here. He's like, he's not my boyfriend. And then he goes like, hey, babe, here's some, you know,
yeah,
snakelets or whatever.
It's a little warm. I'm sorry. He goes, thanks,
babe. A little warm. He's like, thanks, babe. Thanks, or whatever. Babe. Yeah.
Had no problem with
again,
the implication.
Again, another reason where you're like, this guy is endearing. He would be a fun friend.
Yeah.
But I think we've all had friends that are also like dumb assholes sometimes.
Yeah.
You're like, motherfucker, stop doing this.
He is so frustrating in this movie. Like, you know, plugging in the fucking, you know, like Plinko machine in the bar that like gets all the attention. And
makes
just, like,
the most fucking noise
he
of
just,
anything ever.
He can't help himself. Like you're watching him do these things. Like when he crashes the car so he can drive the Jag, you know, just there's,
yeah.
there's
Well, I think the worst one is probably trying to make the drug deal happen outside the Winchester.
Oh my God.
And like literally like all they're trying to do is pretend to be zombies and get in undetected. And he's, you know, prattling on.
You know, what I only noticed this watch through was that the kid, the insubordinate 17-year-old that Sean works with was the guy that Nick Frost was dealing with on the phone earlier.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Because he says he has some word that he, like, Nick Frost has some word that he uses, like, oh, and they have a blank, and then he hangs up, and then when Simon Pegg goes to work later, he goes, hey, did you hit up your dealer? He goes, no, he only had a whatever, and so, like...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I just thought that was...
I also like the second time he goes to the store, or maybe it's right on the way back, and everyone's become zombified. Yeah. He gets hit with the soccer ball, and like the kid who was playing soccer, like did as a zombie sort of kick it into him again. And I was like, what? He's still kicking the ball around?
he has that capability, but
I guess that's kind of the Romero logic where it's like the zombies kind of go back to the mall because it's what they sort of remember a little bit. So it's like maybe this kid is just locked in.
Yeah, he is like young Pele. I also thought it was I think the most uncomfortable I was in the entire movie is when he tries to open a Coke with his teeth, that can of Coke. He tries to like, cause he's like holding the Cornetto in one hand and then the thing in the other hand. So he tries to pop the can open with his teeth and it was just like, ugh. Ah,
couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me, dude. That's just like, yeah, that fucking metallic.
Never done that?
No, never.
Oh. All right. I like that.
Listeners, you heard it here first. Max is going to open a Coke with his teeth on the next episode.
Yeah, on cam.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, first
video episode. Yeah,
I'll get my Baja Blast. I like that that Sean, when he gets the gun, like I don't know why he even ends up with it. He has like no experience, but they hand him the gun to do all the shooting, and he's like, he's terrible, but he also is not missing all the time. He's just kind of normal with a gun where he has a couple of headshots, but for the most part, he's just wildly missing and hitting the wall.
There's a point where he's running from Liz's, he's running to Liz's apartment and he's got the cricket bat. And what I really liked is he does hit some people in the head. There's other times where he kind of like just seems to like be flailing, like hits a dude in the shoulder and it's just like,
bonk,
he's
pushes
him. Like, yes, he would like hit a couple, right? But he's also like a regular dude. So it makes sense that this regular dude would not be so proficient with a cricket bat that he'd be able to like, you know, dead hit head.
Yeah.
And same thing
he's
with the gun.
He's kind of just like swinging. He's sort of Jeet Kune Do. He's using the force of it to kind of move the zombies out of the way a little bit.
I like that kind of regular guy aspect to it too. Like you were saying with the gun where like he's not off, like he's not so off most of the time. Like sometimes he hits a zombie in the shoulder or like he kind of hits the wall, like, you know, maybe like a foot and a half to the left of the zombie or something. But like he doesn't, it's not like, oh shit, I forgot Sean also has special ops training, you know, from like when he was 16 years old. Like he kind of sucks with the gun. He also kind of sucks with the cricket bat. Like he's a regular fucking dude. He would suck with those things.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to Simon Pegg that he wasn't like, I should also be kind of a badass though. You know, like
he gets activated and he's like, oh, I just realized I was a professional cricket player before I became a spy.
I kind of expected them to do, and they did it a little bit, but not really, the whole like, I play video games where I shoot, therefore I am good at shooting thing. They did do the one thing where he says like upper left because he says that to Nick Frost and Nick Frost says upper left to him. And then he like moves over and shoots the guy.
They're doing the little coaching when he's playing games versus real life. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. But I mean, like in a lot of things, like lazy writing, they'll want to have an excuse for, you know, like that special ops training when he was growing up or whatever. They want an excuse for someone to be really good at what they're doing. And oftentimes they'll just throw in, they played a ton of video games.
Yeah, I could see a lazier draft of this script being like him, you know, being able to like pop, pop, pop. And somebody be like,
Sean Wick.
Somebody being like, how'd you know how to do that? Hello, babe. You know, just like something like that where it'd be like, oh, because he's played video games. He creates
sticky grenades.
Yeah.
Throwing them on the zombies. Killing the plasma, Sean.
Killing spree.
Halo also featured a zombies mode. Great stuff.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the movie before we head out?
No, I mean, I'm excited that you've decided that we're kind of going to go back through it, because that'll give me an opportunity to take them all in, fresh take. And always a pleasure to rewatch this one. I do think it's a great entry in the zombie genre. And the zombie genre, yeah.
You said genre.
Zombie genre, yes. All the movies that are about zombies and have a Sean character in them, which maybe we could figure out what other ones do. But no, it's a pleasure to revisit.
Yeah. Max, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Chuck, it seems like anyone our age is going to have seen it already. But yeah, I guess you always assume that about certain movies. And there are plenty of people who haven't. But yeah, check it out if you haven't.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.